What is up, guys? I hope everybody is well. First and foremost, thank you so much for tuning in into another episode of the Dental Marketer Podcast. I believe, I should always be prepared with this, but let me see what episode of this is coming up. I kind of get a little bit confused with the numbers because of the other series that are going on this podcast, but thank you guys so much for tuning in into the Dental Marketer Podcast. It's Sunday here. Well, you're probably listening to this on Monday because this episode is going live on Monday. So thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. This is episode 82. Woo! 82 of the Dental Marketer Podcast of TDM Talks. So pretty much that means when I have guests on here. And this guest today, well, before I get into that, guys, go in the show notes below. Look at the link that says Delivering Wow Summit. It's a CE event. I'm pretty sure you've heard of it, but in case you haven't, it's a CE event it's going to be like the event of 2018, okay, guys? It's going to be happening in Jamaica, and it's all-inclusive, and it's in a resort, okay? And by all-inclusive, I mean for those 2 days, Friday and Saturday, you'll have, you know, everything. Food, restaurants, activities, all these things for free. But not just that. You're also going to have the big leaders, okay, the movers and shakers there, teaching your team, yourself, on how to increase and grow your practice, increase production, increase collection, increase treatment acceptance, get a better team, how to attract new patients, increase your community presence, brand authority in your community, social media presence. I will be speaking on the marketing panel there on Saturday. So I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited to be there to meet every single one of you guys and speak. Go ahead and come. I believe it's like an early bird special right now, and it's $297, guys. $297. So that is amazing. I really want to see the Dental Marketer tribe there. People who will be speaking: Sandy Pardue, Laura Hatch, Bruce Baird, Jamie Amos, Justin Morgan, Anissa Holmes. It's her event, okay? Anissa Holmes, Dr. Glenn Vogt, Dr. Ashley Hovez. So many people are going to be there speaking, guys. And then me. I'll be there too as well. And I only named a couple. I know there's still more. Leonard Tao, Dr. Leonard Tao. Yeah, guys, there's going to be a lot of people there who are speaking, and we're going to be breaking out into mastermind groups as well. And that's where we can, like me, I can work with, you know, your company or your team or your projects one-on-one, or how we can increase community presence, how we can attract new patients, where we can go set up at events and things like that. So guys, be there. Let's be there and let's talk and meet and things like that. I'm so excited to be there. But like I said, the link is going to be in the show notes below. But with that being said, my guest today is none other than Dr. Tyler Hanks. Now, this is a very, very interesting episode. I liked it a lot, especially the advice at the end. The advice at the end was, I felt like it unlocked a little bit more of my brain. But so Dr. Tyler Hanks, he is very passionate in what he does. He has done a lot, okay? But he is the creator of Live Smile app. Now, if you don't know what Live Smile app is, it's an app where it helps with miscommunications and frustrations. It provides patients with like a simple and visual interactive treatment plan or dental history. So each patient has their own portal, guys, right? With Live Smile app, and they can look at it on their phone if they want, or you know, on a desktop, and it shows like it'll immediately show as soon as they open the portal their mouth, their teeth from the patient. And it's not like what we see as dentists. It'll be something that the patient can understand. And it'll show like probably the back tooth. It'll be highlighted in red. And then what it'll show, what does red mean, right? And then the patient can click on the tooth. And then it'll show the proposed treatment. But it won't show, you know, in dental terminology. It'll show it in terminology that the patient can understand. And they can click on the tooth and see more info. What's great about this is that parents can see this portal as well. So say like the child goes in, right, and gets stuff done, and then they come out, and then they're like, okay, well, you know, they have cavities and this and that, and the parent's like, okay, cool, we'll see what their finances, right? But then they can go back to this Live Smile app, the parent, and see what can be done the child eventually, as they grow older, they can see what has been done to as well. So this is very, very important, but also useful application that will definitely increase treatment acceptance. But we talk about that. We talk about how Tyler used to be a dental assistant. He used to work at practices with 100 new patients, where they would see 100 new patients every day. So he's learned a lot. And they had like 12 locations. It was also something he noticed was different miscommunications in the practice. And that's what he's kind of going to talk about, how there's been so much miscommunication sometimes in pediatric dentistry with the patient, maybe in regular dentistry, everywhere, right? And so we talk about that. We also talk about how we can talk to our patients a little bit more, in the sense, not rushing. Like, we shouldn't be rushing so much, you know, like get them in, do a quick exam and get them out, right? And the next patient, get them in, do a quick exam, get them out. Take it easy, slow down. Like I said, we also talk about miscommunications and frustrations in patients. Do children or do parents know what's happening in their kid's mouth nowadays? It's a good question, huh? We also talk about focusing on the patient experience. We talk about how you should probably send emails before you meet the new patient. And also we talk about how the little things, maybe sending letters and things like that to new patients after their treatment, is important. Like I said, we talk about communication with patients. We talk about Nicaragua. What do we talk about Nicaragua? Well, tune in to find out. Like I said, we talk about visual aids, slowing down, and we talk about waiting is bad. What does that mean? Waiting is bad. Could it mean maybe the patient in the waiting room is bad? What is the best form of marketing for a new patient who's in your office? Think about it. You have the patient already in your office. It's a new patient for the first time walking into the waiting room. What is the best marketing from that point on, since they're already your new patient? Now what you have to do, now that you've gotten the hard part in, which is getting a lead, someone on in your community into your practice, now how do you get them to accept treatment? Huh. That's a good question, huh? What marketing tactics can you do to enhance that yes from them once they're in your office, in the waiting room? Good question. So we also talked about being active on social media, how LinkedIn has helped him. Are you using LinkedIn? And one quote that I absolutely love, and he said it in a more better way, but something that, and you see the title of this episode, but it's, what are you doing when you have nothing to do? And what are you thinking about when you have nothing to think about? So guys, without further ado, I want to introduce you to Tyler Hanks. Such a great guy, such a wonderful interview, and here he is.
A little bit about my past. So I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah. Did undergrad at Southern Utah University. Mm-hmm. Then did my dental school at ASDO, AT Still in Mesa, Arizona. And then pediatric residency in Kansas City, Missouri. Okay. I just want to kind of rewind, because during all of that is kind of where my story originated with this company that I started and kind of where my passion with not just dentistry but also public health and dental technology kind of grew. Mm-hmm. But it kind of grew between all of those things, between undergrad and dental school and residency, is kind of where the passion grew. And I do want to mention, I got married in there, and I have three boys. So all of that happened while this little story started and grew to where it is today. So during undergrad, I was a dental assistant, a pediatric dental assistant for about a year for one practice who had just two locations. And they saw 100 patients. One doctor saw 100 patients a day.
Oh, wow.
And it was impressive. A pediatric dentist, I should say.
Man.
Around 100 a day, I mean, give or take.
Still, that's amazing.
It was a factory. It was very fast. and then the other practice I worked at for another year, they had 12 locations. And I was able to float around and get to know a lot of pediatric dentists, work in the surgical center, work in, you know, hospital settings, and get to know the business and the marketing side of that, you know, larger type pediatric practice. And that's just kind of where the passion grew. But during that process, I was able to see many different, you know, ways of doing things in the dental industry. Mm-hmm. But specifically speaking, I saw a lot of different ways, or I should say a lot of different and common miscommunications and frustrations from patients. And it varied, you know, some practice, the practice with a ton of patients, maybe I saw this more often there. Yeah. But I want to say it was pretty spread evenly, even in the smaller practices where we were seeing 50 or 60 patients a day. These frustrations were still there, and it all came down to miscommunication. So we'd have, and this is pretty common in peds, and I'm sure it's very common in general, you know, at least my mouth, mm-hmm. just to shoot that off. I don't know, honestly, growing up, I don't know what was done in my mouth. I knew I had some fillings done. I would go into the dentist, get numb, and go home, but I didn't know what they were doing or why or how to change it or how to fix it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of the root of where this my whole story starts is we'd have these parents in all these different practices come in from time to time, and they would say, I just don't know what's going on in each of their kids' mouths. I thought this kid was getting a crown, or I thought he was the one getting the tooth out, or I thought we already paid for that, or this and that. And they just didn't really have a grasp of what's going on in their kid's mouth. And I feel the same about my mouth. I didn't when I was growing up, mm-hmm. and even now. I mean, now that I'm a dentist, I have a better understanding.
Yeah.
But people just, they didn't know what was going on, because how much can you retain when you visit the dentist twice a year? How much can you retain when you sit there for 5 minutes and talk to the dentist about your teeth? Which, I mean, there's 32 of them, 52 if you count the 20 primary teeth. It's just a lot of information. It's like when I go to the car mechanic, I don't know what I'm doing there. I just trust them and go home and hope they fix my car. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's kind of where it all started. I saw this common frustration. We'd even get emergency appointments where we'd have kids in, and it was all problems that could have been avoided if we had just talked a little more, spent a little more time, or had some visual aids, which I want to get to, which is why I started the company I started. But we'd have kids come in as an emergency for a baby tooth that was coming in.
Hmm.
Or a baby tooth that was just loose. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. If we could have just told, you know, gave a little bit of anticipatory guidance to mom or dad and said, hey, they're probably going to have this certain tooth in this certain area in the next 6 months. It might, you know, it's probably going to be loose. It's probably going to bug them. No need to call us and waste your time and our time putting them in the chair just to tell you that it's a loose tooth.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, with all that being said, there's a long answer. You said, tell me a little bit. I'm giving you a lot of bit about my past.
That's good. That's good. So I have a quick question. So were you the dental assistant to the practice with 100 new patients?
Yes.
Wow, man. So in that practice, is that where you kind of saw like the miscommunication, or no, you felt like they handled everything really well?
No, I mean, so I don't want to talk poorly there because that's where I got my start and I love it there and great people. What I want to get at, yes, I was a pediatric dental assistant. And there, as well as the other practices that were seeing 50 and 60, I saw these miscommunications.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anything to do with how many patients they were seeing. That is something I do want to talk about a little later, but yeah, they handled it very well. They had so many assistants there. I think there was like 12 or 15 assistants.
Wow.
We had so many chairs and we had like earpieces in to be able to guide the dentist where to go. I mean, it was a well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm. It's like a mission. Yeah. That's good. So what do you got going on today? Yeah. Like, what's been going on nowadays for you?
Yeah, yeah. So now that you know way too much about my past and everything, that whole miscommunication thing just, you know, was a huge deal to me. I felt the same when I go into the doctor's office. I just feel like I'm guided around without anyone explaining what's really going on. And so I started a little company during dental school,
mm-hmm.
During my free time there. At the same time, I was getting my master's in public health during dental school. So I got my DMD and my MPH, and I started a company, and I think we had two kids during during those
so
4 years.
Busy.
But we got it done. And we started this company that basically it provides patients with simple and visual interactive treatment plans or dental histories. So if you were a patient in my practice, you would have your own patient portal on your phone or on your desktop, wherever you have internet access. You'd be able to log in, and the first thing you would see is your teeth. And it would be very, it's so simple to see. You can know, oh, the back right tooth is a red tooth. So what does red mean? You can look at the key and it says proposed treatment. Okay, so this red tooth means I need something fixed. I can click on that tooth and it'll tell you everything that's going on with that tooth. Or a blue tooth. What does this blue tooth mean? Oh, this means I have a crown there, or this means I had a filling there, or I have gum recession there. And so we've color-coded it and made it very simple and easy for patients to really grasp what's going on in their mouth. And we've linked up with a lot of dental practices now and a few pretty cool partnerships we have going on. One with Team Smile. They're pretty cool, a nonprofit organization that does events, free dental events around the country with 45 professional teams at their stadiums. So we treat a bunch of kids, and that's a fun deal. And so our product basically, because the parent's not there for it, for the treatment, right? Because they bring these kids from school and we treat them, they go home. Our product sends the parent an email, says, here's your kid's patient portal. You can log in and see what the dentist did today and see what else needs to be done. And then here's some dentists in the area you can go find and get their work done, what's left to be done. So that's one organization we linked up with. We're linking up with Crown Council. That's a fun opportunity. We're linked up with United Dental Alliance. Just some great partnerships, and we've found some early success from this idea, this whole idea about communicating. Just spending a little bit more time and giving your patients the tools. Now, when I say more time, that's tough for dentists, and you know that time is money for dentists. We can't spend all our time talking about these important things, but we can't spend all our time. We got to spend time, you know, treating people. So what our product does is it syncs automatically with your dental software and pulls all that complex info from the patient's point of view and simplifies it for them. It actually doesn't cost the dentist any more time, but it does spend a lot more time, you know, from the patient's point of view. They get to have a lot more time knowing about their mouth from their dentist, if you go what I mean. It's extending the dental visit beyond those short 5 minutes that you talk to them about their mouth. It's giving them a tool, then go home and see what's going on, see what's been done in their mouth, see what needs to be done, and see how to prevent that same problem from happening in the future in a very simple and visual way.
Gotcha. What is it called, this company?
Our company's called Live Smile. You can just look us up on livesmileapp.com, Live Smile app, like an application app, livesmileapp.com, and we have a little video on there, and then you can click on a link and enter your info if you're interested in learning more. And we do plenty of free demos all the time, and we even let dental practices try the product out for free for a month. See if their patients like it, see if the dentists like it, see if their staff likes it. Because it kind of changes your practice culture. You're going from where in a lot of cases we're not communicating enough to all of a sudden being very transparent, and your patients will know exactly what's going on in your mouth. And to a lot of dentists, maybe that's not the best thing. But for our response, and the feedback we've gotten is it is the right thing. Just a small little story. I don't know anything about cars. So when I go to the car mechanic, I just have them fix my car. I don't really trust them, but whatever. That's my problem. It's definitely not their problem. It's totally my problem. But they fix my car. It's fixed. I go home. I don't know anything, really how to take care of my car. If there's another problem, I just show up. But I'm not calling very often to ask them questions, or I'm not, I don't really know what's going on in my car until I went to one car mechanic who sent me images of all my leaks, of all my tubes, of all these little things in an email. And had descriptions along with those those images about, you know, when something would need to be fixed or why it needed to be fixed. And I became a customer of life. You know, like, I'm going there forever because they showed me, they gave me tools to know what's going on in my car, how I need to maintain it, what needs to be fixed, when, and just, you know, what to expect, and just have a little skin in the game other than just showing up and you know, getting it fixed or not, you know. So the other cool thing that our product does, it does that, but it also sends reminders if you have treatment that's been red for a while, it's been proposed but hasn't been completed for 3 months, our system sends an automated email and says, hey, you know, you've had this crown proposed there for 3 months, it's time to go get it fixed. Or you had a recall exam, it's been longer than 6 months since you've been back in, it's time to go get it cleaning, that type of thing.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, but you're right. You're absolutely right. Whenever we do go to a mechanic, like, I don't know anything about cars either. So, I mean, I assume that everything's good, but then sometimes I'm like, oh, man, did you mess it up on purpose? Like, I always wondered that. So I kind of think sometimes maybe people might think the same thing, like, because, you know, they really don't go unless it's in pain, right? Unless your tooth is in pain or your mouth is in pain, you do go. But people kind of just go like, you know what, I just got dental insurance, let me go to the dentist, I haven't been in a while. They go and then they see like they have maybe like 5 cavities, they need to get a root canal, or they need stuff done, right? And then they kind of think like, oh man, this guy just wants to jip me, man. He just wants to, you know what I mean? Like,
he wants to pay off his boat.
Yeah, he wants to pay off his boat. I never had any pain until now. Why is he, you know? But I guess, you are right. Like, if we do show them, you know what I mean? Through photos, and we take a little bit more time to communicate. I guess, like, educate, right? Like, communicate and educate the patient. Then you start to understand, like, hey, man, dentistry is it's something I should have been investing in and doing more of. Or maybe that's why people don't talk to me, because of my breath. You know, it depends.
Definitely. I mean, as a dentist, like, my least favorite thing to do, especially with kids, but also when I was treating adults in dental school, is see someone in pain, like that, or I shouldn't just say see, but treat someone who's in pain. Like, at that point, it's too late, there's not much we can do other than, you know, take a tooth out or, you know, do some sort of filling. But it's just not, that's not my favorite procedure. It's not, I like treating people who are not in pain, who are taking care of their mouths. You know, like, those are the fun things for me to do. When someone's in pain and they're having a hard time getting numb, I want to avoid that for people. I want to give people the tools without costing the dentist any more time. You know, we do it all synced. We do it all automatic for the dentist. You know, because we can't spend all that time, but we want to. But
Gotcha. And so, what is one technique, tactic, strategy, or procedure that you have used or seen increase dental practices' profits?
One of the practices I worked at that I'm trying to model my practice after is they focus very, very, very hard on the patient experience. They wanted the experience. The second the patient walked in, even before the patient walked in, you're modeling patient behavior just in your advertising, in when you're sending, you know, your pre-paperwork to them before they get there, or whatever it is, sending emails or whatever it is, you are setting that patient experience up before you even meet them. The second they walk in the door, before they walk in the door, and then throughout the whole time, you're getting to, what we did a lot is we have our assistants get to know them really well and then put that in the notes. So the next time they came in, you could ask about their dog, or you could ask about that fun costume they wore at Halloween, or, you know, those little things, and really boosting that patient experience with, and I know this is a big, I mean, everyone wants the patient experience to be positive, but I don't know if everyone's focusing enough on it or doing all the little things that make that big patient experience so positive. So I think that's one huge tactic, and that, again, goes along with the technology that we got at LifeSmile, is we're taking that patient experience to a whole new level. We're giving them something that they get to take beyond the office, beyond, you know, outside into their own homes. And right now we're seeing patients on average log into our app, log into their mouth for 6 minutes at a time. That's a long time to be looking at your mouth. So, and that goes with communication. That would be the other tactic or strategy or procedure, I should say. that has just boosted things is just communicating on every little, every tiny level. People don't know what's going on. You know, act like it's something foreign and just communicate. Don't talk to them like they're dumb.
Yeah.
But just communicate, you know, where they're going, what they can expect. I remember when I lived in Nicaragua for 2 years, when I first got there, I didn't speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. I had to learn it very quickly. But I didn't know for the first couple months Spanish at all. And I remember going on these walks with people, and I felt like we were walking an eternity because I didn't know when it was going to end. I didn't understand when we were going to end or when, you know, when these things were going to stop because I couldn't speak the language. I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes it happens in dentistry. That we're not communicating, we're not setting the expectation very early, and that goes with patient experience, but it goes with communication. We're not setting that expectation early enough.
Yeah.
This is what's going to happen. This is how long it's going to be. This is what you can expect. This is what you cannot expect. And then it makes, once I understood those things, it was like, when I was in Nicaragua, it was like those walks didn't take time at all. Like I knew where we were ending. I knew how to get there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you're right.
I think we'd be a lot better about that as dentists.
Yeah. Yeah, because I do see that sometimes too, where patients are, like, for example, they're leaving the operatory and then they're going to the front, and then the front office says, like, okay, we're going to schedule your next appointment. And then they're like, I have another one? And it's like, yeah, you have this done, and you need this left. And they're like, oh my gosh, like, I'll call you when I need a schedule it because I got to check my schedule. Right. And then there goes that appointment. So when were you in Nicaragua?
Right after high school, I went to Nicaragua for 2 years, as a missionary. And that was before undergrad. So I picked up Spanish there, obviously, and then had that fun experience of where it felt like I was walking for days and days and not knowing when it was going to end.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's cool, man. Good stuff.
I was 19 to 21. That's how old I was. Yep.
It's good experience, man. That's good. So you said also, focus on patient experience. Can you give us like maybe two little things that you may feel you didn't do that now you're doing to enhance the patient experience?
That I didn't do.
But you're doing now. Like you're like, oh, this really makes a big difference.
Yeah. I mean, it all stems from going too fast or just not setting that expectation. So sometimes we get in a rush where we just feel like we got to see as many patients as possible, or we have to do as many procedures as we possibly can because money's going to walk out the door. They're not going to come back. If you're worried that you got to do so many procedures in a certain appointment that they're not going to come back, something else is wrong. You know, your patients should be coming back. So sometimes we get going too fast, and I saw this as an assistant with some of these dentists. They get going too fast. Their mind's going too fast. They're not talking about the things they should talk about, or spending just that quiet couple seconds to really think things out, or their schedule's too booked. And so that would be one thing. I would just say slow down. Still produce if you slow down. And one office, our hygiene appointments were like 20 minutes. That's getting the patient in the door. X-rays, clean, dentist comes, checks, notes, treatment plan, 20 minutes. It was just too fast. Another place, we slowed it down. Even 30 minutes, 35 minutes, 40 minutes.
That is fast.
And things were a lot smoother, and I promise that dentist still had a great life.
Yeah.
I mean, they still made plenty of money, even though, and their life was better. They got to slow down for a second. And I think their patients benefited from it. So I would say, slowing down would be one thing, you know, that I've changed. And then the other thing is just really talking more, but not just talking, visual aids. That's something I picked up over the last little bit. Because it all comes from this. I can talk to you all day about an MO amalgam on 3, but no one knows what anything, no one knows what that means. But if I show you a little image, which is what Live Smile is, everything is image based, but also, when I was doing my master's in public health, I did it on visual aids and patient education and all the research behind that and how important it is. We got to have visual aids. You got to have something that these people, normal, very smart people, but who don't study dentistry for 10 years of their life, you know, just don't understand. You got to show them something.
Yeah.
So slow down and use images.
So slow down in visual aids. Well, how do you think we can better a patient experience if they're like a new patient, like they've never been to your office before, but they're about to come in?
You know, that's everyone's challenge right now, I should say. I mean, and it starts from how you advertise. It starts from your front office people, you know, speaking to them very, very nice, and just making it a great experience from the second they walk in. A thing that I personally just can't stand is when I'm new somewhere and I wait, and I have to wait for like 40 minutes before I'm seen. Oh. So if your new patients are coming in and they're having to wait, and that stems from going too fast. Sometimes you're too booked that you get behind. So have the time in your schedule for turnover, that when you have a patient come in, that you can bring them back the second they walk in. And I think that boosts that patient experience. And no names. I mean, just the very common sense things. But just, I mean, have your assistants go out there and say, hey, Jackie, come on, you know, it's your turn to come in. Just call people by name and think of all the different ways that you can make their experience positive from mm-hmm. even before they walk, whether it's, you know, streamlining some of the paperwork. Maybe they can do it online the night before. Some of the treatment planning, just trying to streamline things, make it all simple and easy.
Yeah, you're right. I think that's honestly like one of the best things you can do for a new patient is like not make them wait, because I feel like they experience that everywhere, you know, even at doctor's offices.
Yeah.
I remember I went to a doctor's office and they told me to fill out the paperwork beforehand if I didn't want to wait, and I did, and I got there, I turned in the paperwork, and then I still had to wait like an hour and a half to be seen.
Holy
and I was
smokes.
Like, man, I don't. I filled out the paperwork, and they're like, yeah, but this is normally the waiting time for this popular doctor. And I'm like, okay, let me not go to that doctor then. You know, so you're right.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Waiting is bad. So what is one strategy, idea, or technique you would never do again, and why?
Never do again. I would never see 100 patients in one day. You know, I wasn't the dentist doing that. I was working for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I do not want to push myself that hard again. And everyone's different. You know, I can only talk for me. Some guys, they love that. They 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., they're cranking away. They barely take a lunch break, and they're producing millions. And I want to do that. I want to make a great living. But mm-hmm. I don't want to get so busy making a living that I forget to make a life.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I had someone ask me if just recently on LinkedIn, I had someone ask me, hey, are you open when it comes to making money? And this kind of goes to some of the mistakes that I never want to make or that I'll never do again. Like, yes, I am open to making money.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we all are, but it depends. Is it going to take away from my life? Is it going to take away from my time with my family, the things that I enjoy to do? You know, because yes, you can make a lot of money cranking away 6 a.m., 6 p.m., you know, and not taking lunch breaks. But I want to be as active and able when I get home and I'm with my kids and with my family. I want to be as happy and funny there as I am at work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't want to be completely drained and be so stressed the time I get home. I'm just the cranky to everyone. So, yeah, slow down. And like I said, don't get so busy making a living that you forget to make a life.
Gotcha. And so what do you think, for example, say there's a dentist who is like, man, my practice, I'm just starting off. I feel like I'm slow, but I'm super stressed out. Maybe they're like seeing a lot of patients that aren't really productive. Like they're not doing a lot of production. So like what can you recommend in that scenario?
Yeah, so that's funny you mentioned that, because that has happened often in my life. Not that specific thing, but there have been so many times in my life where it's just I get overwhelmed or stressed, and it's like it's typically when I'm starting something new, like you just mentioned, a new dentist.
Mm-hmm,
And I've had to tell myself and even write it down that when you're doing something new, learning a new skill or starting something new, even if you've done it, you know, dentist, if you're starting your own practice, you've been in dentistry for a long time. You've done this before. You've done a filling before. You've done a crown. I mean, this stuff is second nature by now. Mm-hmm. But still, doing a new practice is something new. And so I've had to write down and tell myself and remind myself, when you're doing something new, expect to get overwhelmed, expect to get stressed, expect problems, but it's going to clear up. You're going to find a way, put your head down and work, and get in your head and think, and find problems, but find more answers. Gotcha. So that's what I would tell any dentist starting to practice. I mean, that stuff's normal. It's normal to get stressed, but you're going to push through. You're going to look back on those times as good times. The other thing that you mentioned was production. So that all goes, there's another, that's a whole nother story, and a whole nother topic. Maybe we don't have time to talk about that today, but, yeah, I mean, you can have an hour slotted for one patient that has a certain insurance, and you can crank away and do a ton of work and make as much as an hour slot for another kid. When you just do a couple procedures, just insurance is huge. So,
yeah, definitely. What marketing tactics are you doing right now that you feel like are working and have not really worked, as far as to attract new patients?
Yeah. So, right now, we're trying to be as active as we can on social media. And I want to speak for both LiveSmile and practicing as a dentist, being as active as you can on social media. I have 19,000 LinkedIn followers.
Wow.
And that's free advertising. That's free marketing. And there's so many great people on there that are wanting to partner and wanting to help and wanting opportunities to bring you more patients. And there's so many fun techniques and opportunities out there. So use your free social media. Another cool thing is actually mail. Dentists get so many dang, or not dentists, people get so many dang emails, trash emails nowadays. It's like it's time to flip back. We get so many emails that our system automatically throws stuff into junk mail, and then we automatically throw almost everything else into junk mail.
Yeah.
And almost nobody's mailing anymore. So I think mail has actually had some success on top of social media tactics, not just set like advertising as a social media presence, but also just having a presence and commenting and liking and just being a person on social media, not just, throwing up all your, just barfing all your sales stuff, but actually being a person on there and having a personality and presence.
Yeah, like showing your culture and your personality and everything. Yeah, I agree with you completely. Because there's people who just want to, hey, we're having, like, have you seen those profiles that kind of just like only mention like, hey, end of the year benefits coming up soon, make sure you come get it, or free whitening at our office if you hit a like.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I don't know who this person is, but
yeah, exactly. Or the free cleanings and free stuff like that. Like, I don't know. Be careful with who you're attracting to your office too.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll tell you, with your on social media.
Yeah. Because if you just get a bunch of like people who want free stuff or like Groupon, have you ever seen dentists who use Groupon? I've heard of dentists. Yeah.
I mean, you're getting people that want free stuff, and that devalues your schooling, that devalues your training, that devalues everything that you've worked so hard to do. I know we're trying to get patients in the door, but you have value as a dentist. Your time is important, and their time is important, so don't get behind. Slow down your appointments. Don't make them wait in the waiting room. I actually met one dentist, and this is something I need to do as well. When he had a patient wait longer than 10 minutes, you would have a certain code or a certain assistant that would come grab him and just tap him on the shoulder, and he would get up in the middle of whatever he's doing, if he's in the middle of a procedure, and he'd go out in the waiting room and say, hey, I'm sorry, I know we're running behind, I'll be with you shortly. The dentist did that.
Wow. That's good stuff.
That blew patients away. Blew patients away.
Because, they're being honest and genuine, And they're actually, willing to get up and do it,
So yeah, that is good. Yeah. I mean, what did that take? Like 30 seconds of your time, 1 minute of your time? If you're going so fast, you don't have a minute to spare, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, we need to reevaluate then. All right, so last question. What is the best piece of advice you have ever received that can help my listeners simplify, accelerate, or completely change their practice in a positive way?
Yeah, I want to mention two things here, and they both happened in Nicaragua, two experiences. One, I met a man who worked about 18 hours a day. I mean, literally 18 hours a day.
Wow.
To provide just barely enough money to for his family to survive the next day. I mean, there's no such thing as savings. Or, it's just survival in a lot of these areas. But that man was happy. He was still happy because he was providing. And so I do want to mention that piece of advice that we have so much to be happy for. I mean, this guy was walking around with no, I mean, socks just aren't a thing. They just walk around barefoot. We have so much to be happy for. So that's one piece of advice. And I know that's probably not going to change your practice, but it might change.
Change,
and which in turn might change your practice. The other thing I learned out there that I hope changes your practice, but I think in order to change your practice, you kind of have to change some things about yourself. So the other one was I heard this quote and I love it, and I thought of it almost every day. It says, "You can judge the intelligence of a man by what he does when he has nothing to do, and what he thinks about when he has nothing to think about." And so that goes back to me during dental school, where I had some free time, so I did a master's in public health, and I had a little, you know, had a passion on the side, so I started this Live Smile company. But I also have my family, and I love spending time with them. I mean, I know it sounds like I'm contradicting everything I said about having a life. That doesn't mean you don't work hard. You still work hard, and you chase your dreams, and you find the time to do things. But when you're sitting in your practice and you have nothing to do, you know, you're waiting for a patient, or you had a no-show, or whatever it is, like I mentioned earlier, find problems and find problems often and find solutions more often. So what are you doing when you have nothing to do? What are you thinking about when you have nothing to think about? Those type of things, pushing yourself and thinking about answers and thinking about better ways you can improve that patient experience. One would be calling Live Smile, letting us know, and we'll help you out. That's something you're big time. But that type of mindset can help simplify, accelerate, and definitely change the practice, I think, big time.
Yeah, that was really good, man. So be happy. And can you say that quote again?
Yeah. So you can judge the intelligence of a man by what he does when he has nothing to do, and what he thinks about when he has nothing to think about, if you get what I mean. So
yeah.
When you have that no-show, or when you got that free time, or when a problem arises and you're just sitting around, it's what are you thinking about when you got nothing to think? Are you just sitting on Facebook watching just the stupidest videos ever? or are you trying to find solutions to things and innovate
find solutions to the problems, man. That's really good. That was really good, man. I like that. So change the mindset and be happy. So thank you so much for being with us, Tyler. It was a pleasure. But before we say goodbye, tell us where it is we can find you.
Yeah, I think the most simple way to find us is just livesmileapp.com. I can list all the different social media things, but I think the easiest way, just go on to livesmileapp.com. You can get in touch with us there. You can find all of our social media platforms. You can find me on LinkedIn if you'd like, Tyler Hanks, DMD, I believe is what it is. Okay. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
Awesome. Yeah, no worries. And all that, the links to that will be in the show notes below as well. So thank you so much, Tyler, for being with us. It was a pleasure, and we'll hear from you soon. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. That was episode 82. So happy you guys got to meet Tyler Hanks. Such a great guy. Go check out Live Smile App. That'll be in the show notes below. It's called livesmileapp.com. Like I said, this is a wonderful tool that can provide patients with, you know, simple and visual interactive treatment plans. I am not in any way sponsored or affiliated with a Live Smile App, but I do believe it will help with treatment coordinating and patient acceptance. I mean, if somebody can just go, if I can just look at my app, like you know how we did the car mechanic thing, right? Or how he explained the car mechanic thing. I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, there's a check engine light in my car, right? So many times, why do we take that car to the mechanic, because we're like, what's wrong, right? Sometimes we don't know what's wrong. Just a little light tells us what's wrong. But if, like, for example, say we go to the mechanic, he figures it out. He's like, okay, you need this change, that change, blah, 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 spark plug, fuel pump, I don't know, all these things, right? I'm not really good with cars either, so I don't know much of the terminology, but my brother is. My brother's really good with cars. Anyways, so say he does that, and I'm like, okay, cool. And maybe I don't decide to pull the trigger right then and there and get everything done because I see, like, the money, right, that has to be spent. So then I look at my portal, car portal mechanic, and I see an outline of my car in, like, the easiest format. I see the wheels, whatever. I click on wheels, and it breaks down what needs to be done with the wheels, the threading, maybe the rims or something, right? Or maybe I click on the bottom part of the car, and I see something that's highlighted in red, like a tube, and I click on it, and I'm like, oh, what is this? And it tells me this is what needs to be done, right? Like, wouldn't you guys be more, like, inclined, like, man, now I understand, now I see, now I can understand why I need to get fixed. I can go to another mechanic and be like, well, I probably wouldn't go to another mechanic because they wouldn't have given me, you know, what I got as far as the portal and things like that. So I would just call mechanics or whatever and ask them a little bit more about the scenario. I would call the exact same mechanic and be like, oh, so I see you said I need this done. Can that wait off? And what needs to be done as soon as possible? And maybe that's highlighted in red, right? And then the rest is like blue, yellow, and then green for everything's great or whatever, right? So anyways, think about that as far as the patient. Like, if I had pain in my tooth, or if I went to the dentist, I had no pain, and then I looked at the app and I see, okay, you know what? I'm going to have to get my wisdom teeth taken out, or I have cavities here and here and here. Ah, now I see. Instead of tooth number 10 or whatever, right? Like, now I can see everything of what needs to be done. Or maybe the parent's looking at it. This is what that needs to be done with the kid, right? And it's an app on their phone, too. So it's going to, like, remind them constantly. Or it's maybe, like, an icon on their desktop that's going to remind them constantly. Like, hey, you have to get this done for yourself or your child. So anyways, I'm just, like, highly assuming and thinking that this is a really good app, which it is. I mean, I've heard really good reviews on it and things like that. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you understood the meaning of slowing down, right, and communicating with your patients. Nobody wants to feel like they're rushed, right, especially when it comes to healthcare. Nobody wants to feel like you're rushing through me. I want, like, a really good doctor. I don't want to wait. Now, I don't want to wait in the operatory chair like 30 minutes, and I don't want to wait in the waiting room, not even like 5 minutes, to be honest. I want, as soon as I see my appointment time, get in there, let's make it happen. But if I have questions or concerns, or if I'm not understanding something, I want someone to keep asking me, like, what questions can I help you with today? Not, do you have any questions or concerns? No. Like, after my treatment, you should already know that I have questions and concerns. So I want you to ask me, like, hey, what questions can I help you with today? And I want the doctor to be there asking me, because, I mean, to me, they're the ones who know the most in my mouth right now. So, yeah. And during the process, I would love it if this assistant also talks to me, you know, about what's going on in my mouth, or maybe, like, just to calm me down my day and things like that. So anyways, just communicating with your patients is insanely important. Focusing on the patient experience as soon as they walk into the door as a new patient is important. What are you guys going to be doing to increase that communication and that marketing once the patient is in the door? I would like to know that. What do you guys do? So if you can leave me any messages or comments or a voicemail message, guys, don't forget, if you look to the right of your screen, you can send me a voicemail. I would like to know, once the new patient is in the door and sitting in the waiting room, what do you guys do in the marketing sense? Like, do you guys have maybe complimentary drinks to give them and ready-made baked cookies in the office to give them? And then do you provide everybody with an iPad as well? Or do you show them first and foremost, like, hey, like our Facebook if you want to get on Wi-Fi? Or what do you guys do to market more? But in the sense, market more the yes for them to accept treatment once they're in the practice, right? Once they're in there in the waiting room, what's your marketing strategy from that point till when they're leaving their very first visit? So yeah, guys, please feel free to send me voicemails. We'd love to hear your voice. Also, you can answer that question anywhere you find me, on the Facebook group, The Making of a Dental Startup. That's our Facebook group. Or you can answer it on the Dental Marketer Tribe, which is on Instagram. The Dental Marketer Tribe is Instagram. And it's just, the Instagram name is The Dental Marketer. You can answer it there on my Instagram or my Facebook, anywhere, right? You can answer it anywhere. So would love to hear your guys' feedback and your answers on that. And so, guys, yeah, with that being said, I hope you have a great rest of the week. I hope this episode, you know, brought more knowledge to you guys' existing knowledge already. And then go say hi to Tyler Hanks for me. He's on LinkedIn, very active on LinkedIn. And yeah, with that being said, I'll talk to you guys soon.